Welcome everyone now to our evening worship service. Just in terms of announcements for this week, the Board of Deacons meets at 8 o'clock on Monday evening, and then the session meeting, that's an adjourned meeting of session from 2 weeks ago, continuing on with that meeting, and that's at 8 o'clock Tuesday evening. I'm due to be on holidays from Thursday of this week and until I'm still on holidays until the Thursday, the 14th of July. So the services next Lord's Day are due to be led by Reverend Blair McFarland, and then the following Sabbath, the 3rd of July, it's Reverend Tim Donaghy, and then on the 10th of July, it's Mr. Brian Dunwoody. Literature available today, there's the Camps Prayer Letter. Those were given out at Synod, so they've just appeared today for the first time in church. I did a few extra copies of the report on Synod meetings by Reverend Robert Robb, and then also the Northern Presbytery financial reports for 2021 are available. So those are the announcements, and we'll come now to the worship of God. We join together in singing praise, and our opening psalm is 119. Singing part 9 of this psalm, Psalm 119, and singing the four verses of part 9. The tune is Retreat, number 27, tune 27. And the second stanza of this psalm, it says, "Before affliction came, I strayed, but now your word observe I do. For good you are, and good you do, so teach to me your statutes true." And in a simple little phrase there about the Lord our God, good you are, and good you do. We come to worship a God who is good, and a God who does good. And we are called upon to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And so we sing the praise of a good God, who has been good to us. Psalm 119, part 9, there's four stanzas, and the tune is number 27. So let us stand as we sing God's praise and then remain standing for prayer.
Lord,
Now let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you and we can echo those words of the psalmist who said that you had dealt well with your servant. Lord, we thank you that you deal well with all your servants, that you are the God who is good and the God who does good. And we praise you, Lord, for what we've experienced of your goodness throughout our lives. And we praise you that we have every confident expectation that we will continue to experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that we will experience that even more so in the eternal age to come. Lord, we look to you now this evening. We thank you that we can come together, that we can sing your praises, look to you in our prayers, and hear your word. And we ask that you will help us as we do this. We pray that we will delight in the God who speaks to us in the Scriptures, the God who shows us the ways that are good ways, the ways that you delight in, the ways that will live forever. And so we pray for your blessing upon us as we seek to bring you our worship in this evening hour. Forgive us our sins, and work among us by your sovereign Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together this evening in God's Word. If you turn, please, to the New Testament book of Titus. And I want to read some verses at the end of Titus chapter 2, and then reading through into chapter 3 and to the end of the third chapter of Titus, page 1059 in our Pew Bible. Titus chapter 2 at verse 11, and then reading through to the end of chapter 3. So let us hear God's own true word. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. So reads God's word. And we turn again to sing praise to God. We sing some verses in Psalm 18. So if you turn, please, to Psalm 18. And we sing the last four verses of the psalm on page 32 of our Psalter. And the tune is Warwick, number 173. Psalm 18, singing from verse 38 to 41. The Lord's alive. Blessed be my rock. Saviour, exalted be the God of vengeance who subdues the peoples under me. He saves me from my enemies. Yes, you have lifted me above my foes, and from the men of violence set me free. And the psalmist speaks of the good things that God has done for him. And in the last stanza, it says, he gives his king great victories, and mercy he displays to David, his anointed one, and to his seed always. And the mercy of God is something that's experienced by God's people in all ages. Always God is merciful to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Psalm 18, and we sing from 38 to 41, the tune Warwick 173. Let us stand as we unite in praising God. Come this evening to consider the teaching of God's word, and we've read in the book of Titus, from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through to the end of chapter 3. And I'm not preaching on those words as such, but that passage illustrates the things that I do intend to speak about. And what I intend to speak about this evening is the good fruit of kindness and goodness. We were thinking this morning of how a good tree produces good fruit, and genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are good trees, and the good disciples of Christ will produce good fruit. And I want to speak about something of the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, which we read earlier today, among all the other things that we read about the fruit of the Spirit, it says in verse 22 that the fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness. The things that were taught about in Galatians chapter 5 as being the fruit of the Spirit, these are all things that were characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself was full of these good qualities, things like kindness and goodness. And these are the things that God, the Holy Spirit, seeks to develop and to promote within all Christians. The Lord wants us to grow in these kind of things, and God delights in these evidences of Christ-likeness. And I want to consider these two elements of the fruit of the Spirit, kindness and goodness. They're two things that very naturally fit together, and it's a bit unnatural to separate them. Think of someone you know who is kind, and you'll probably think that that person is also good. And if you think of someone who is kind, someone who is good, that will be a positive thought that you have in your mind. And it is the desire of God that everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus would be known for our kindness and for our goodness. Jesus was known for his kindness and for his goodness. And so if we are truly his disciples, these things God will seek to develop in us. So I want to speak first of all about kindness, and then secondly about goodness. What is kindness? Well, we sort of know what kindness is. One writer on the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is Jerry Bridges, and he says that kindness is the inner disposition created by the Holy Spirit that causes us to be sensitive to the needs of others, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. It's a sensitivity to the needs of others. Kindness is a heart that goes out to others. It is a very unselfish quality of kindness, the fruit of kindness. And most of us, I'm sure, will have experienced kindness early in our lives and early in the homes in which God placed us. In the days of your life that you're not able to remember, the kindness of your mother was probably there surrounding you day after day. And no doubt she was busy there in the home. There was lots of things that she had to do and try to keep on top of. But always she would have been alert and aware that she might at any stage need to stop what she was doing in order to attend to your little needs. Kindness is an expression of love. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says, "Love is patient, love is kind." The kind person is an approachable person. A kind person is a person who is aware of the needs of others around them. If in life you're ever in a place that's new to you and strange to you, how good it is to come across someone, or for God to bring someone across your path who is kind. What a difference that makes when you're uncomfortable in your surroundings and the newness of everything. In my own life, I recall when I went off for the first time to university, that God provided different people in different settings who were kind to me. They helped me to settle in, helped me to find my way in a big city that I'd never been in my life. And I knew that I wasn't alone. And I experienced the kindness of God through the kindness of God's people. I could say the same thing about when I went away to Pittsburgh to study there at the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary. And God provided people who made Andrew Stewart and I feel at home and feel welcome. And I remember the kindness of people in Wishaw when Jennifer and I moved there as a young couple, and how the kindness of people helped us, having moved away from our families and gone out into a place that was strange to us. It was easier coming back from Wishaw to Clarratz, coming back to the land where most of our family lived, but going away was a different story. And the kindness of people makes such a difference in those kind of situations. As Christians, we have received much kindness in life. God himself has been kind to us. And in considering the teaching of our Lord in Luke chapter 6, in verse 35, Jesus says that we're to love our enemies, we're to do good to them, we're to lend to them without expecting to get anything back, and we're told our reward will be great, and we will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. God is kind even to the ungrateful and the wicked, but God surely is kind to those whom he saves. It is the kindness of God that leads sinners to repentance. It is the kindness of God that provides salvation in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Titus, it talks about the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appearing. That's in Titus 3 and verse 4. God himself has provided for us those kind people who have helped us at different stages in our lives. And now God wants us to show that same kindness to others. He wants to enlarge our thoughts and our outlook so that we're not just focused on ourselves, focused on our deadlines, focused on our duties. But God wants us to take a genuine interest in others. And little kindnesses done by God's people can count for a lot. And all of us should pray that God will help us to grow in the grace of kindness. The kind person thinks about others. Their eyes are looking outwards because God has taught us to be like this. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, the last verse of that chapter, verse 32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And we're to be kind as God has been kind to us. We're to be tender-hearted as God has been tender-hearted. And we are to be forgiving, even as God has been forgiving towards us. So, kindness. God desires to develop within us the fruit of kindness. And kindness is a beautiful thing. God delights in kindness. And it will be good if other people benefit from the kindness that God creates within us. So that's the first good fruit, the fruit of kindness. Good tree produces good fruit. And God makes us to be good trees, and God will produce the good fruit of kindness on those trees. And allied with kindness is the fruit or quality of goodness. And so secondly, I want to speak about goodness. If kindness can be considered to be the inner disposition, then goodness is that inner disposition being put into action. God not only wants us to have a heart for others, but he wants us to do something to demonstrate that heart for others. Goodness is a doing thing. The person who is kind-hearted shows it in action by doing what is good. And God is good. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, went about doing good, as we're told in the Scriptures. And God the Father was well pleased with the life of his Son as he went about doing good. And God makes it clear in his word that those whom he saves are saved for one purpose at least. That is that we who have been saved should do good. Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." It is the will of God that our walk, our ordinary way of going through life, is marked by doing good, by showing practical goodness. Christians have at times been mockingly referred to as do-gooders. And that's been a phrase that has been used as an insult towards Christians. But God wants us to be do-gooders. He wants us at least to be those who do good, that there may be a negative connotation intended in the do-gooder insult. But it's better to be someone who does good than someone who does no good. Not much use in life if you're a no-gooder. And God wants us to be those who bear the fruit, the positive fruit of goodness. And just as we need to pray that God will develop the fruit of kindness within us, so too we need to pray that God will enable us to grow in goodness. And how might God answer that prayer if we pray that God will help us to become those who do good, even as the Lord Jesus did good? God might open our eyes to see the opportunities that he presents for us to do good. Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that God has created us for good works, and he has prepared those good works beforehand. God has laid it all out in advance, and God can open our eyes to see the opportunities to do what is good. So let's think first of all simply about the opportunities at home to do good. God wants us to show goodness to one another in our home settings, if there are others that we live with in our home settings. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, Paul says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And parents have a duty, a God-given duty, towards their children. And that covers many things. But there's a duty to set children an example of doing good at home. And within any household, there are always lots of practical jobs that have to be done about home. Things that aren't very attractive, things that aren't very appealing, but they just have to be done. There's always dishes to be washed and dried. There's always clothes to be washed and ironed. There's always floors to be hoovered. There's always bins to be sorted one way and another. And there's always rooms that need to be tidied. And when God works in a person's heart, he enables us to see the things that need to be done. And doing those things is a way of doing good. Seeing that as a way of serving God rather than as something to be avoided at all costs. That is a way of doing good. God is able to change the attitudes of people's hearts, and doing good so that others benefit from that good is something that needs to start at home. Then also for young people, there is the opportunity to do good at school. Children spend a lot of time at school in their early years, and God gives opportunities to do good at school. There are always going to be people around at school that you could help in one way or another. And sometimes that can take courage because you'll not be popular in the eyes of others if you exercise goodness towards certain people. There are those who get picked on at school. There are those who get made fun of and get excluded, and other pupils can be cruel towards them. And the Lord Jesus does not want his followers to pass those kind of people by on the other side. They need help. And if Jesus was a pupil at your school, he would be doing good to others. He wouldn't be seeking popularity for himself, but his eyes would be open to those that he would be able to do good to. And so even within a school setting, there's the opportunity to do good. And it doesn't matter what other people think. It matters what the Lord thinks. Then there's the opportunity to do good at work. Once a person gets beyond education and into work of some kind or other, a great deal of our time in life is spent in the workplace. For some, it may be working at home. For others, it might be working out of the home or away from home. And we need to ask God to help us to have the right mindset where our work is concerned. In the workplace, God gives the opportunities for doing good. There are opportunities to do good in the lives of the people that you may be called upon to work alongside. But the work itself that you do may be an expression of doing good. Many people in the nature of the work they do, it is a way of doing good. The work itself is doing good. It's a way of giving real help to others. We need to see that work that God gives us to do as being an opportunity to do what is good, to manifest the spiritual fruit of goodness. God puts us in particular situations. He puts us in our life settings, and he wants us there in those life settings to do the good that he has prepared in advance for us to do. And God gives us opportunities to do good in the work that he gives us to. We can also do good within the church. In Galatians 6, verse 10, Paul puts it like this. He says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." We're to do good to all, but especially we are to do good to those who are of the household of faith, those who are believers, those who are a part of Christ's church. And so in any congregation of God's people, the needs that exist among the people who make up the congregation, those needs change all the time. And in our congregation, there's been a fair change over the last few years in terms of people's life circumstances. And different life circumstances create different opportunities for doing good among those within the church. And the people within our congregation can do good towards us. Sometimes you can be on the receiving end of the goodness of others. Remember William James speaking at the men's fellowship about people in the congregation who came to visit him when he was in hospital and couldn't do very much for himself at all. And also about those who came to visit him when he was at home. Sometimes people would come and would sat with him so that Rosemary could get out to a meeting. And those were practical expressions of doing good to those who are of the household of faith. And we need to seek to be a church that is going out and meeting the needs of those who are not part of the Church of Christ, reaching out to those who don't know the good news. But at the same time, we also need to be doing what we can for those who are a part of Christ's church. And some people have more opportunities than others for doing so. Some people are very, very busy in their work and don't have much time to offer any help to others. Others have time. And that's something that is an expression of practical goodness, seeking to help those who are a part of the church. And whether it's a helping hand or a listening ear, practical expressions of goodness are honoring to the Lord. And then finally, we can do good wherever we are. And there are many situations that I can't talk about specifically. But there is nowhere where you can safely hide away and keep yourself to yourself. There's no life setting in which you don't need to manifest goodness. And so God wants us to be good wherever we are. God wants us to do good wherever we are. Everywhere he went, the Lord Jesus did good. Some folk from this congregation will be going off to be involved in church camps over the next few weeks. And in church camps, there's the opportunity to do good. There'll be young folk coming along to church camps. They've never been to a church camp before. They maybe not know anybody, really, that's at those church camps. There are always those who are a wee bit on the fringe, for those who don't find it easy to fit in and to mingle. And there is the opportunity to help those people, to make sure that their experience of camp is a good experience, so that next year they'll want to come back and it'll be so much easier for them their second time coming than their first time. And it's important not to seek popularity for yourself, but to have your eyes open to those who aren't finding it as easy and as special as others are. We need to pray that God will help us, whatever our life situations are, to see and to seize the opportunities to do good for others. God has prepared these things in advance. And the things that God has for you to do at one stage in your life are not the same as what he has for you to do at another stage. We need to pray that God will help us in those transitions of life to see what new opportunities he opens up for us. We need to pray that God will help us to see these things and to seize these things and to stick at these things and not lose heart. Paul talks about not growing weary while doing good. And so we need to have a sensitivity to God's Spirit and to how he would lead us and how he would prompt us to go in particular directions. God does not want you personally to meet every need that exists. That would be utterly impossible. But there are particular needs that God has prepared you in advance to be the person who meets those needs. Every Christian is capable of doing acts of goodness. There are things that we can't do, but to do what's good, practical acts of goodness, every Christian is capable of doing those things. And sometimes all that a person needs to be helped is to be listened to. Jerry Bridges writes that most people are so starved for the genuine interest of one other person that a little bit of concern from someone who cares goes a mighty long way. And that may be all the more so the case in our post-pandemic times, if we've even got to that stage as yet. David the Psalm writer says in Psalm 142, verse 4, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." And knowing that someone cares makes a huge difference in a person's life. And you could be that someone that makes that difference for someone who is close to despair. And for them to know that there is someone who cares for them, that can make such a difference. There are opportunities to do good. And the Lord calls us to display goodness. Lack of opportunity is not generally the problem. The problem is seeing things as opportunities to do good. Often we're tempted to see things as being a nuisance rather than an opportunity. We see things as being an inconvenience, whereas this is actually God saying, "Here's what I've prepared for you to do." Bridges writes, "Remember that opportunities for doing good are not interruptions in God's plan for us, but are part of that plan. We always have time to do what God wants us to do." God wants us to be kind. God wants us to be good. Kindness and goodness are two beautiful things. We rejoice in the kindness and the goodness that other people have shown towards us. And we are to keep in step with God's Spirit as he grows these fruits of kindness and goodness within us. And if God was to help us all to grow in our kindness and goodness, our witness would be all the better. And there would be many people who would praise God for his people that he has in this world. A good tree produces good fruit. And here's part of the good fruit: kindness and goodness. Amen. Now we look to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the straightforward things that we're taught in the Scriptures about the things that are good, the things that you delight in, the things that you desire to see in us. And as we thought of these qualities, these fruits of kindness and goodness, We pray, O Lord, that you will help us to see these as being truly good. And we pray that you will help us to have that desire and help us to pray that we will grow in kindness, that we will grow in goodness. Forgive us, O Lord, for every way in which we have failed you in this matter. Forgive us for the times when we have not done or said what would have been kind, and where we have withheld the goodness that we could have extended. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us in our witness, and we pray that you will make us more kind, more full of goodness, more like yourself. And, O Lord, may that bring glory to you. We pray for your help this week for the meetings of the deacons and of the elders. Give wisdom, O Lord, in the things that are discussed. Give help in making plans for the future. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased to lead us forward in good directions that will be for our good and for the good of others also. We pray, Father, for the work of the gospel in Nantes. We pray for the men who are doing the preaching in Nantes during this time of sabbatical. And we pray that each one will bring messages from your word that will be a real help to those who gather to listen. We pray that Andrew Little will benefit from his time of sabbatical, his time being free from preaching and pastoral duties within the church there. We pray for that building work, that everything will be arranged and sorted so things can get going come the start of July, and we pray that things will progress well and that there wouldn't be delays to the timescale of things beyond the delays that there already have been. We pray, Father, for your wisdom in the consideration of the possibility of our church being involved in gospel witness in the city of Limerick. And we give thanks for that opportunity that is there. And we pray for help for those who will be assessing that and will be seeing if that's something that would be an option. And we pray, O Lord, for those folk that are already meeting, and we pray that if this doesn't work out for them, that something else will, and that you would build your church there in that city. And we pray that it will be a means of more folk hearing the good news there in that part of Ireland. We pray for the congregation in Galway. Just pray for them in these challenging times, and we pray that you will help them as they look to the future and as they consider the options before them. And we pray that you will strengthen and sustain Raymond Blair as interim moderator and Billy Hamilton as the one elder that's there in Galway. Help them as they talk about things and the way forward. And we pray, Lord, that you will provide for your people there in a way that will be very evident and striking. We pray for men for ministry. We pray for Paul Flynn. Help him, O Lord, now being available for a call. We pray that you'll give him patience as he waits to see what way things will work out. Pray also for Ian Gillis in Scotland, as he's also available for call and hasn't been called as yet. Help these men, O Lord, keep them from turning away from that work that they've been trained for. We pray that you will provide ways in which they can serve you, and we pray, Lord, that soon they will receive calls and have the opportunity to serve. We pray for Johnny Fitzsimons, for Kenny Stevenson. Help these men, O Lord, as they come towards the end of their placements. We pray that they will continue to benefit from these times, and we pray that you'll be with them in their preaching opportunities that they have before they return to their studies again in September with learning Hebrew and into their second year classes in October. But we pray also, Lord, that you will raise up other men for the work of ministry and mission. And we pray that you who are the Lord of the harvest, that you would raise up the workers who will enter into that harvest. And we pray, O Lord, that you will provide those who are needed for that work. We pray that you will put that desire in men's hearts and those whom you have already been equipping throughout their lives, those who are capable, O Lord, we pray that from them that you will be calling men and giving them that conviction that this is not of their own imagination, but that it is the call of God. And we pray that that be recognized by others around them. We pray that there will be those who will be encouraged to consider that and to pray about that. And we pray that you will raise up a sizable number of students that will enter into ministry training at the next intake of students. And Lord, we pray that that will be seen as a great answer to prayer. Lord, we look to you. You alone can do these things, and we pray that you will extend your mercy towards your church and provide. And we pray, Lord, for those who are stretched at the present time with the number of vacancies. We pray for some elders who are doing a lot of preaching, who are often away from their own congregations. We pray for retired ministers who, again, are often preaching and not really able to be involved in the church where their membership lies. Pray for interim moderators in the pressures of seeking to look after things in their own church, and then also in the church that they're taking care of. The challenge of being able to get men to preach on all the different days that they're needed for. Lord, we pray for your provision and your help in these things, and we pray for a willingness among ministers who are in settled charges to go and to help out in the other vacant congregations. And we pray for sessions to be willing to allow their ministers to go and preach in the vacant churches, so that we're not left in a situation where there just isn't anybody available to take services in some of our vacancies. Lord, we look to you for your provision in these things, and we pray that you will do so abundantly for the well-being of your church and for the growth of your church. Lord, work in us by your Holy Spirit, producing that good fruit. And we pray, Lord, that will encourage us as we see what you're doing within us. And we pray that we will be able to see at times of how you have worked in our hearts and changed our outlook, changed the way we think about things, and that we would see the mind of Christ being produced within us. Lord, we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalm is Psalm 142, and we sing the six stanzas of this psalm. The tune is Evening Prayer, number 246. The first stanza of the psalm speaks about the troubles experienced by the psalm writer. To the Lord I cry aloud, I to the Lord with my voice call, my complaint pour out before him, tell to him my troubles all. And God is a God to whom we can pour out our hearts. We can tell him all our troubles, and we can be sure that he will listen to us as we do so. And the writer speaks about how it was only in pouring his heart out to the Lord that he found help. He says in stanza 3, look to my right hand and note that no one sees that I am there. All escape has vanished from me. For my soul, there's none to care. And this is where the opportunity for the kindness and goodness of God's people to come in, those who feel that there isn't anyone who cares for them. And we're called upon to be those who see those situations. And the Lord is the Lord who cares for us. And he is the one who is kind towards us. He is the one who is good towards us. And we are to be to others as he has been to us. Well, Psalm 142, we sing the whole of this psalm. The tune is 246. We stand to sing and then afterwards remain standing for the benediction. Let us praise God. Mm-hmm. now receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.